Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 17, Text 137. I'm using an e-book, just one second. That's going to take me the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth. Okay, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 17. Oh, sorry. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. That was not Madhya Lila. This is Madhya Lila. Sorry. Okay. Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 17. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. Text 1. Let me see. Do you have an English version of Madhya Lila there? Okay. I hate e-books. It's always a hassle. Yeah. I like real books. I might go through before you come, but no problem. I have so many bookmarks, so it's a bit difficult. Interesting.
Is this server operation?
Let me see. This is Madhya Lila, right? Last time we had 135, then I don't know if someone did 136. 136 says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Graham Indriya Seva Moki Jivado Swayam Eva Sparatyada. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Graham Indriya Seva Moki Jivado Swayam Eva Sparatyada.
This is for? Is it okay?
You say? No problem. I can always write it. Madhya 17. Okay. Translation. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Now, the purport is a one-line purport that says, this verse is recorded in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. So, because of that, I was thinking of taking the liberty to read a verse that has a purport. That was 1.37. So, we'll go through that and I'll try to blend two of them. Brahmanda haite punananda lila rasa brahma gyani akashya kare atma vasa. The mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes, which are full of bliss, attract the gyani, from the pleasure of Brahman realization and conquer him. Purported by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. by some Prabhupada Ki. Right? When one understands that he belongs now to the material world, not to the material world, but to the spiritual world, one is called liberated. Being situated in the spiritual world is certainly pleasurable. But those who realize the transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes of Lord Krishna enjoy transcendental bliss many times more than one who has simply realized the self. When one is situated on the platform of self-realization, he can certainly be easily attracted by Krishna and become a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasoshiti Nakanchiti Samasavavita Bhuta Shudmak Bhakti Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one becomes spiritually realized, Brahma Bhuta, he becomes happy, Prasanatma, for he is relieved from material conception. One who has attained this platform is not agitated by material action and reaction. He sees everyone on the platform of spirit soul, Pandita Samadashina. When one is completely realized, he can rise to that platform of pure devotional service, Mat Bhaktim Labhatei Param. When one comes to the platform of bhakti, devotional service, he automatically realizes who Krishna is. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, bhakti mama abhijananti yavan yas chasmitatvata tato mam tatvato gyantam vishyati tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. It is only on the bhakti platform that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage. Being thus qualified spiritually, one is allowed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God and return home back to Godhead. Vishate tat anantaram. Om gyana timirandasya gyana gyana shalakaya chakshun mitam yena tasmai si gurave namaha. Shichintanya manobhistam saptamina bhutali sayamrupakadamayam dhidati sampadantikam. Hey Krishna karana sindhu dina bandhu jagat pate gopisha gopika kanta rada kanta namostate tapta kancha na gaurangi radha vrindavaneshwari vishabana sutta devi paramami hari priye vanchakapati rupis chakipisini beva chepati tam pavani bhiya vashavivi namo namaha mukam kaloti vachanam pangalandaya te girim yakipatavan desi guru dinatharana paramana marava. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Dobrodosli. Yo, welcome to this morning's Chaitanya Charitamrita discussion. And we're continuing from where we stopped last time. Today's verses, we're looking at two verses, but we'll focus more on one. The first verse says that we cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes with material senses. And when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the holy name and taste the remnant of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Now, the text before this, for those of you who were here, you remember, we try to explain that you cannot use that which is finite or limited to understand that which is infinite or unlimited. That is to say, what your senses can grab is or are limited to what you can understand. And I gave the example that many a times people say, oh, I want to see God, I want to see God. And you ask them, can you see this part of your nose without a mirror? Just here. You can't. You need a mirror to see something this close. Now, what makes you think you can see God, even if it's standing right in front of you? So Prabhupada always says, never try to see God, but act in a way that God can see you. That's the best. And we give examples that it will be easier for you to do something that is remarkable in this country to get the attention of the president than for you to try to fill in applications to see him. But if you do something philanthropic, something worthy, sooner or later the president will get to know you. Like that. So in devotional service, the same thing applies, that when our senses are still contaminated or we're still acting on the bodily platform, we cannot understand Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, or Krishna's pastime. And when we do not understand Krishna's name, then something as simple as chanting every day doesn't make sense. Because for you to be able to understand the potency in Krishna's name, you have to understand that Krishna's name is one and the same with Krishna. There is no difference. Abhinato Namanam, you know, it's the same. But if you do not understand something that simple in the sense that if our senses are pure enough to grasp the idea, then it's simple. But if our senses are still on the level of material enjoyment and is still contaminated, then even something that simple, that Krishna is none different from his name, it's easy to miss us. And if we do not understand that Krishna and his name are one, then chanting is just a ritual, it's mechanical. You do not connect to the name, you just connect to the sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's mechanical. Now, if the senses are not purified and they're still material, then Krishna's form also cannot be perceived. That's why it's difficult for neophytes to mentally understand and logically accept that Achavigraha is non-different from Krishna. It's difficult to process. Because the senses are still seeing stone, wood, paint, metal, brass, marble, like that. But when the senses are purified through certain processes, then it's easier to understand that the Achavigraha is not different from Krishna himself. So Krishna's form and Krishna is the same. But our form and ours are two different things. The body we have now was not the body we had when we were seven. Even science explains that every 7 years, the body changes. The cells you had as a 7-year-old boy is not the cells you have as a 21-year-old boy. It's gone. It's totally changed. So we are different from the body in the sense that the soul is separate from the body. The body is just a vehicle carrying the soul. But Krishna's body is non-different from him himself. It's the same. It's Sakshidananda Vigraha. But how do we understand that Krishna's body is Sakshidananda Vigraha? We have to have the proper senses. We have to have the proper information. We have to have the proper mindset. Krishna's pastimes. How do you mentally process that a 7-year-old boy can carry a mountain with the tip of his little finger? It doesn't make sense. How do you process that someone can be simultaneously present in 16,108 places at the same time, doing 16,108 different things simultaneously? It doesn't make sense materially. But spiritually, if you understand that there are three levels of realization of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, And you understand that on the level of Paramatma, it means the localized presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in each and every one of us, then it begins to make sense. But for you to grasp Paramatma realization, your senses have to be purified enough to understand that if God is present inside each and every living entity, why can't he be present in just 16,000 places? There's a lot more living entities than 16, there's a lot more people in this country than 16,108. So if you believe and you understand that God is present in each and every one of us, then what makes it difficult for me to manifest in 16,108 places? But you have to have the right information of Paramatma knowledge to understand that that is possible. One step further again. Now, it says the conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food. The tongue is purified and gradually comes to the understanding that who Krishna really is. So that's the idea. That when the senses are dovetailed in objects of the senses that are related to Krishna, then they become purified. The eyes like to see, the tongue likes to taste, the ears like to hear, we like to feel. But when we dovetail these activities of the senses in seeing Krishna, in smelling flowers or prasad, in tasting prasad, in hearing kirtan, then the senses become purified enough to grasp and understand what the name, form, qualities, pastime of Krishna really are. But if the senses are not connected to Jaya Shishupanj Tatuki, Shishigoni Tatukija. But if the senses are not properly connected to activities that help to purify them and bring them from the level of materialistic understanding to a level of spiritual understanding, then it doesn't make any sense. Then everything is just, then it's just another little boy, then it's just some special being, then it's just maybe a myth, and it doesn't really make sense. So, this is the power of devotional service, that by constantly engaging in the nine processes of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, up to atma nivedana, total surrender, that one can have the senses purified enough to understand who Krishna really is. So without wasting much time on that, we'll go to our main verse for today. It said, the mellows of Krishna's pastimes, which are full of bliss, attract the jnani from the pleasure of Brahman realization and conquer him. And in the first verse, Srila Prabhupada explains the nature of the soul. That until and unless we understand our constitutional position as being eternally part and parcel of Krishna, then it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get attracted to the wrong things. And here Prabhupada says in the very first line, say, when one understands that he does not belong to the material world and that he belongs to the spiritual world, then he is liberated. But to the degree and to the extent that we think that we belong here, then we are conditioned. That's conditioned life. Conditioned life means you think you are the body, you think you are Slovenian, you think you are American, you think that you belong here, and you think that the things around here will make you happy. That's being conditioned. Being liberated is understanding that Aham Brahmasmi, Jivera Nityadas, Jivera Sarupa Hoi Krishna Nityadas, that you are eternal servants of Krishna. Now, you cannot understand that you are Nitya Krishna Das except you understand that you are not this body. Because as long as you keep seeing that Aham Bhuto, you know, then you keep tying yourself and your realizations to the things that are connected to this body. And most times, people who have deep attachment to the body either engage in philanthropy, socialism, you know, things like that. Because they identify with this body, they know this is me. So in order to make me happy, I have to do things that will make this body happy. But the moment we understand that no, we are not tied to this body, we are different from this body, there is something more in this body, which is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, then one is said to be liberated, because you have the understanding to get out. And so Prabhupada goes further to explain in the purport that one who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahma and becomes fully joyful. The other day, I was in Kran and I was explaining that by executing one's dharma properly, one can have peace. And that's what we all want. Everyone wants peace of mind. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants calmness. Everyone wants something good in that sense. Now here in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, it says, Nashashati Nakanshati, one who does not lament, one who does not hanker, one who is joyful. But how can you be joyful? How can you avoid lamenting and hankering? Bhagavad Gita 5:29 makes us understand that. It says, Jantumam Shantirichati, Bhaktaram Yajatapasa Savaloka Maheshwaram, that when you understand that every austerity, every sacrifice, every activity you perform is meant to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu, then you can have real peace. You can be really happy. Then you can come to the state of not hankering and not lamenting. But how can you understand that everything you do, every activity you perform is meant to be a sacrifice to Krishna or Vishnu? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita further, he says, Yat karosi yad asnasi, yad josi yad asi yat, yat apasasi kunta yat, takrusa marapmanam. That whatever austerity you perform, whatever activity, do as an offering to me, O Arjuna. Now, you can only do something as an offering to Krishna if you understand that everything belongs to him and you're part and parcel of him. But you'll continue to do things for the country, the state, your family, because you think you're attached to them, and everything belongs to you. So everything centers around you. And if one continues to do things that centers around him, family, state, country, there cannot be real happiness. Because you cannot satisfy, there's no way you can satisfy everyone. To satisfy everyone, you should satisfy the ultimate, the supreme person, who by pleasing him, everyone is automatically pleased. I remember the story of Durvasa Muni and Draupadi. Durvasa Muni was sent by Duryodhana to go have lunch with the Pandavas. Unfortunately, they were done eating, there was no food left, and he moves around with 10,000 disciples, and imagine feeding 10,000 people. And there was just one grain of rice in the pot, and Krishna happens to come by at the right time. Krishna takes that one grain, and Durvasa Muni and his disciples are filled to the neck. So if we direct our yagya, our activities, our tapasya, everything towards the satisfaction of Krishna, Bhaktaram Gyara Tapasya, then ultimately everyone is satisfied, and ultimately we are at peace. That shanti, that joy, that internal satisfaction that we are seeking by carrying out these activities can only be gotten by directing the activities to the right channel. It's just like eating. If I take food and I put it inside my ears, not only will I have problems with my ear, but I will not be satisfied. If I take food and put it in my nose, not only will I have problem with my nose, I will still not be satisfied. Because that's the wrong channel. They all have holes. There's a hole here, there's a hole here. But that's not where to put food. You understand that? Simple logic. Now in the same way, what makes us think that we can render activities to the wrong source and still get satisfied? What makes us think we can direct our yagya and our austerities to the wrong source, whether people, whether country, whether demigods, and still be satisfied? It's not possible. So for the body to be satisfied, you have to put food in the mouth so that it goes to the stomach. Now when the stomach is satisfied, the whole body is satisfied because the stomach naturally distributes everything to the body. So in the same way, if our activities are centered around pleasing Krishna, naturally everyone is satisfied. Now Prabhupada goes further to say that one who is spiritually realized, the Brahma Buddha, becomes happy, prasanatma, for his relief from material conceptions. Now, the main reason for our material for our material anguish or our suffering is that we are in illusion. We are in ignorance. And we are illusioned to think that this material concept of life is going to make us happy. But Prabhupada says here that to be happy, one has to become Brahma Bhuta, self-realized. Then you can be Prasanatma. If you're not self-realized, you cannot be Prasanatma. You cannot be happy. So real happiness is tied to self-realization. If you do not know who you are, how can you be happy? Just think of it for a second. If you do not know who you are, how can you be happy? You're walking around the whole place. I say, hey, what's your name? You don't even know. Where are you from? Who are your parents? What do you do? Well, that's on the material level. But worse still, we're walking around thinking we're going to be happy, thinking that we are this body, which is temporary, which will grow old, get disease and die. Or we're walking around thinking we are the mind, which is always confused, turbulent, difficult to control, and we expect to be happy. But how? So, for you to be prasanatma, happy, one has to be self-realized. And self-realization starts from first understanding that aham brahmasmi. First. When you understand aham brahmasmi, that I am not this body, I'm a spirit soul. Then the next question is, okay, if I'm a spirit soul, then where am I from? Okay, aham brahmasmi, I'm a spirit soul, where am I from? I'm part and parcel of Krishna. What is my occupational duty? Jivara Swarupaho Nitya Krishna Das. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. So you see, first you know who you are, you know where you're from, you know what your eternal duty is. Because you might know who you are, you might know where you're from, but if you do not know what your eternal duty is, you will still not be happy. You get it? You might know where you're from, you might know who you are, but if you do not know what your eternal duty is, you will never be happy. And even materially, you see people who they pursue a particular career till maybe 50, 60, and then finally they switch over to something they really always wanted to do in life. And they say, no, now I am fulfilled. Materially even. If you're in the wrong profession materially, and that is not your true calling, you cannot be happy. If naturally you are, say, a musician, what are you doing in medical school? You might get money, you might get rich, but you will never be happy because you're not in your right domain. So in the same way, as spiritualists, as devotees, as Vaishnavas, it's not enough to know where we are from. Okay, we are all from Krishna Loka. Okay, fine. Then what? It's not enough to know who we are. Okay, yes, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all spirit souls. Then what? Then what? Okay, yes, Haribo. Everybody go home. Yes, we know where we are from. We know who we are. So then what? If you know where you are, that means you were doing something there. If you know who you are and where you're from, then try to find out what it was you were doing. And since the soul is eternal, it means eternally, Nityare Krishna Das, continuously eternal, you know, non-stop. You're the servant of Krishna. If you're the servant of Krishna, what does it take to serve Krishna? That's the question. If I'm Krishna's servant, what does it take to serve Krishna? So Krishna explains, Bhakti Mama Bijananti, that through Bhakti, you can know him. Yogi Namapi Sarvesam, of all yogis, the highest is one who knows me in Bhakti. Bhakti, Bhakti, Bhakti. So that eternal occupation, which is serving Krishna, culminates or ends in Bhakti. So when we understand who we are, where we are from, our eternal occupation, and then we do it, That's the last thing. You might know where you're from. You might understand we're not from here. You might understand that we're spirit souls. You might even know your eternal occupation. But if you don't do it, you will still not be prasanatma. You will still not be happy. So yes, you might know I have the natural talents to be a basketballer. I have the natural talents to be a medical doctor. But then you end up doing something different. This is just materially speaking. You know what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to do it, but you still don't do it, and you expect a different result. It doesn't make sense. So if we understand where we're from, we know we're eternally part and parcel of Krishna. We know that bhakti is our eternal servants, is our eternal service. Then we engage in bhakti. And what is bhakti? Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, up to Atmani Vedana. You can do all nine. You can choose one. See? Now, to the degree to which we involve in one of these angles of bhakti, to that degree we become self-realized. Because self-realization comes from being relieved from material conceptions. To be relieved from material conceptions, you have to be tuned to a spiritual conception. When you're tuned to a spiritual conception, then gradually material conceptions fade away or are replaced by spiritual conceptions. Then when that happens, you're said to be self-realized. And self-realization can only happen when you are in tune with your right dharma or your right duty or your eternal duty, which is our eternal dharma, you know, Sanatana Dharma. Now, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada summarizes, we started late, so I tried to catch up, but it says, it's only on the bhakti platform that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his transcendental name, form, pastimes, entourage. When one is spiritually qualified, then one is allowed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God. So this is the last one I want to touch on before we close. So when one is spiritually qualified, it didn't say when one is materially qualified. It didn't say when one is materially rich. It didn't say when one has all the PhDs in the world. It didn't say when one is, you know, whatever. It said, but when you are spiritually qualified, then you are allowed to enter into the kingdom of God. Even the Christians knew, they said, the pure in heart shall see God in the nine Beatitudes. They said, the pure in heart shall see God. So that is the spiritual qualification. You have to be spiritually qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. If you are not spiritually qualified, how can you enter into a place where material qualifications are not useful? We cannot go back to Godhead in this form. Not possible. This will drop, remain here. So if we know this is not going to go past this circle, why don't we start thinking about how to use what we have to use to get to the next circle? If we have to be spiritually qualified to go back home back to Godhead, then why don't we start looking for those things that make us qualified to go back home back to Godhead? You understand? If you want to get into a university, you need good grades, you need credit, you need tuition. Now, if one is missing, you can't get into college. So in the same way, if one wants to go back home back to Godhead, we have certain requirements. And one of them, Prabhupada says, that you have to be spiritually qualified. Now, spiritual qualification has a lot of things inside. So if we do not tick all these boxes, like, okay, this ticked, tick, tick, not this body, tick, eternal service, tick, chanting, tick, remembering, tick, surrender, tick, all this tick, then we cannot go back and back to God. You understand? Now, so one is allowed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God and return back home back to God. Visate tadanantaram. And this is a question on a final note. This is a question I ask most non-devotees, Christians, Muslims. I say, hey, you want to go back to heaven or paradise or whatever? They say, yes. So when you go there, what will you do? Ask any Christian, any Muslim. It disturbs them. Even the smartest one of them will tell you, well, you know I'll be with God, but what will you do? Some say I will sing, you sing the whole day, just singing. Just that. And some will just be there, life will be good. They have no clue what they're going to be doing there. And that is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. We know what we're going to do there. Because there are five rasas. From Sakya Ras, to Dasya, to Santa, to Madhurya, name it, Vasalya, which one? So we have to be, in order to, when we get spiritually qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, we are going to be busy. Now, not busy in a hectic way like it is here, but we have things we're going to be doing. Now, you cannot do it there if you don't start here. You don't work that way. But most religions around the world, with all due respect to them, that idea is not there. They just know we want to go back to heaven, as they say, but what we're going to do in heaven, we don't know. We'll find out when we get there. Understand? But if you don't know what you're going to do in a place, why are you going there in the first place? It's a waste of time. Hey, Yamuna Jivan, yeah, let's go to Crown. To do what? Nothing. We'll find out when we get there. I don't have that time. So why should I spend my whole lifetime preparing to go to a place that you tell me I'm going to live for the rest of eternity and have no clue when I'm going to do that? I don't want to go to such a place. Tell me now, what am I going to do there? Then I can actually prepare. Then I can practice. Then I can get spiritually in tune to do it there. Because it's a continual process. But because we've forgotten, we have to learn. We have to relearn. We have to practice and practice. Then when we become perfect, then we become spiritually qualified enough to enter into that kingdom of God. And then participate internally in the loving exchanges of the divine couple. Hare Krishna. I've extended, I think 10 minutes, but I think I lost 10 minutes while looking for the verses. So I got my 10 minutes back. If there are any questions, comments, contributions.
Krishna, you mentioned before that well-known or perpetual statement, which can be heard in all lectures and all also read in all Srila Prabhupada's books, namely that we're not the body. How does this concept relate or correspond to our obligation to dwell in this material world? Because until we die, we are actually obliged to live here.
Yeah.
But if we keep neglecting the body, or how does this concept relate with each other?
It's a nice question, because a few days ago, I just saw a lecture of one of my gurudevs, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and I was discussing it in the vehicle when we were going to Crown. Someone asked a question, something similar. He says, Maharaj, why is it that sometimes people have financial problems, they leave the movement, and then when they get financially stable, they come back? So your question is, okay, we keep hearing we're not the body, but we're in the body anyway. You understand? Okay, we're not the body, but we're in this body anyway, and being in this body has certain things that come with the body anyway. So how do we cope with this, not being the body, but still being inside the body? That's the juggle there. Now, if I understand the question properly, that's what you ask. Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are four things that one should not neglect, except you're a Paramahamsa. Except you're a Paramahamsa, which means you are Parivajakacharya. Don't neglect these four things. One, your mind, I'll explain. Your body, your health, and social ties. Your mind, body, health, social ties. Social ties means family, economic development, all that. It says, except you're a Paramahamsa, these four things, do not neglect it. Now, yours relates to the body. So I'll focus on that one. That question related to social ties, which had to do with finance, family, and all of that. Inasmuch as you are not this body, if you do not take proper care of the body, you cannot function. Now, taking care of the body has a lot of things. Emotional, physical, mental, psychological. It's a whole round. If you're sick, you can't even chant. If you're hungry, you can't even chant. if your mind is not at rest, you can't chant. You know, if you're constantly worried about something, you can't chant. You have to fix it. So most time, I'll give an example. Someone comes to say, Prabhuji, you know, I'm always dozing during japa. What to do? Are you getting enough sleep? Before we start looking at scripture. Are you sleeping properly? What time do you sleep? I sleep 12 o'clock. What time do you wake? 2 o'clock. And that's why you're dozing in japa. Simple. Oh, Prabhuji, you know, every time I try to chant, I cannot chant properly because, you know, I have to always use the bathroom. I think you need to look at what you're eating. If your stomach is always giving you signs to use the bathroom every now and then check what your diet is before you start looking at scripture. But the problem is most times we get too spiritual that we think we can just jump over these physical things and try to use spiritual solutions or verses mentally concocted somewhere to try to solve very practical down-to-earth problems. It don't work that way. If you're dozing in japa, check your sleep first. If you're still sleeping properly, at least 6 hours, and you're still dozing, then we can try to look for what else to solve. But you cannot be sleeping 2 hours every day, and then you're trying to look for something spiritually, magically somewhere. It don't work that way. If you're lactose intolerant, stop drinking milk. Oh, but it's Prashad. Prabhuji, your body doesn't take it. You understand? So these four things are very important. That we're not the body. Prabhupada says this body is a bad bargain. It's not a good deal. You know, the things I can do now, in the next 20 years, I might not be able to do it anymore. Even if I want to. But what to do? You understand? But does that mean that I stop being a devotee? No. Prabhupada was a perfect example. I mean, imagine yourself in the body of a 70-year-old man. It doesn't sound interesting. You know, with all due respect, I think we should ask Bhavananda Prabhu how he feels and how he felt 20 years ago. He will tell you, oh, there's a big difference. You understand? But the best idea is he's making the best of it. Because he's taking care of his body. That's why you still see him every morning coming from Mangarati. Most of us in our 30s sometimes find it difficult to wake up from Mangarati, but he comes every day. Because, you know, to an extent, he has taken care of his body, and now the body is serving him properly. And my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Maharaj, always used to say, do not misuse your body. It's not for you. Krishna has given you to serve you for a purpose. If you abuse it, it's just like a machine. You cannot use a car for cross-country race tracking and then you expect it to have the function of the car that just drives office home. It can't work that way. You understand? So if you abuse the body, if you don't take care of it, if you neglect it, that is not Krishna consciousness. It's not. Krishna consciousness means making the best of a bad bargain. The body has its problem. It will grow old, it will have diseases, and all that. But we are not this body does not mean misuse the body, maltreat the body. No, that's not the idea. We are not this body means I understand that I'm a soul inside the body. I'm not going to get attached to the bodily conceptions, but I'm going to use this body to liberate myself from the body. And in the process of doing that, I have to make sure that I use the body as best as I can. Because if I misuse it, it will pack up very soon. And the worst thing you want to be is first, the body has its own problems. Now you misuse it, so you're trapped in a body that is dysfunctional. Even bhakti yoga becomes difficult. So in summary, do not neglect the body, but do not make it a priority. You understand? Not that we do puja to ourselves every day. In that sense, that's not the idea. The idea is that we take care of the body physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, as best as we can to help us to get out of it. I don't know, does it make sense?
Yeah, sure,
thanks. Thank you. It's a very nice question, and oftentimes people miss it, oftentimes. You know, and very practical example, my Guru Maharaj, Jodhana Bhakti Maharaj, he always used to say, you know, as a brahmachari and as a sannyasi, I put my body through a lot of physical strenuous things that now in my old age, it's kicking back. It's telling. So I tell people, don't overstretch the body. You know, use it within, we all know our limits. Everyone knows their limits. But sometimes we tend to be too spiritual and want to stretch it beyond the limit. Now, it's good to push yourself, no doubt. You don't stay in your comfort zone and be lax, no. But push yourself with intelligence. That's the idea, you know. Even Sri Prabhupada, when he saw that a couple of times when the body was saying, no, I need to go to India, get some sunlight, you know, reboost, so I can keep writing. Okay, I think last one.
You mentioned that the Srimad Bhakti is more a priority or something important, but what is our duty? And then it's after that we ask ourselves who we are, where we are going. And this is, I was thinking, our duty, like, that we have to read the scripture, we carry everything. Krishna is manifested like this, that we can know him better, that we go to him. This is the goal. And yeah, I was thinking in this way that duty, this is the priority more important, because this is our values and our character can be changed. I mean, transformed. And so because of this, it's more important than we are doing on our duties and our values in life, not who, and then becomes who we are, because then we actually are more into this things, who we are and where we are going. Because first we need to pass the duties to actually like this, because these values and character need to be changed. Because we are acting first and then we are realizing who we are.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. I mean, the most important thing is that we do not forget the goal. So if you have that at the back of your mind, every other thing is a detail. The principle is you always remember the goal. Okay? I don't want to keep anyone from Prashad. Today's Chacharika. I hope so. Okay, thank you so much for your time. Please forgive me offenses made knowingly or unknowingly while speaking. Dantara Srimad, sorry, Sishita Tacharitamrita Ki, Nitai Goro Pribanande.